The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.
So what really happened to Amelia Earhart's plane? She disappeared over the Pacific, and it's been an intense debate ever since. For 80 years, nobody has known what happened to Amelia Earhart. There are three main theories about her disappearance. And there's a reason why I'm bringing this up, because there's news about Amelia Earhart and her navigator friend Newton. The official government conclusion was she ran out of fuel, she crashed in the Pacific Ocean, she sank or was eaten by sharks or whatever. You know, I don't know if she had a lifeboat. Another theory is that Amelia Earhart and her navigator Newton were suspected of being of spies, and they were captured by the Japanese and tortured and then died at a POW camp. And then there is a third theory, and this one gained support last week in a new study. And the theory was is that she survived a crash landing on a tiny coral reef called Gardner Island, and then she died as a castaway. Let me take you back to May 20th, 1937. Amelia Earhart, Noonan, they take off from Oakland, California, and they fly east. She's attempting to be the first woman to fly around the world. And by June 29th, she had made it to New Guinea. 3 days later, they took off on a 19-hour flight to their next fuel stop on an island called Howland Island. It was halfway between Australia and Hawaii. But in the overnight, the strong winds blew them off course, and nighttime navigation was poor because you couldn't look up at the stars because everything was cloudy. And you couldn't get above the clouds in those days. So at sunrise, Noonan was finally able to take sighting with his navigation equipment and recalculate the course. They typically cruised at about 10,000 feet, but even in the morning light, it was still overcast below, and they couldn't spot their tiny island destination. So Earhart took the Lockheed Model 10 Electra down to 1,000 feet. She was just above the water. The clouds were casting massive shadows on the water, making it difficult to spot Howland Island. Now, near the island was a Navy ship, a U.S. Navy ship. It was keeping an eye in the sky for Earhart's plane. And at 7:42, she radioed that naval ship. "We must be on you," she said. "But gas is running low. We've been unable to reach you by radio. We're flying at 1,000 feet. That U.S. naval ship never saw her plane. And she and Noonan apparently weren't receiving the radio messages from the ship. And she kept her eye on the fuel gauge and tried to remain calm, but she could tell that Noonan was nervous. He checked and rechecked his charts and calculations, and at 8:43 in the morning, she radioed again. "We're on the line, 157-337. Noonan knew they were on the correct line, but because of poor visibility, they couldn't tell exactly where they were on that line. If they missed the island, the next available island was Gardner Island, uninhabited island about 400 miles south, if they had enough fuel to make it that far. Earhart alternated her gaze between the fuel gauge and the vast imposing water below. Fuel was now dangerously low. She and Noonan began to talk about the worst case scenario. We just ditch in the Pacific? How long can we survive? But then on the horizon, they thought they could make out a speck of an island. Just a little bit of land. It had to be Gardner Island. They approached it. She circled the island, both of them straining their eyes for any possible spot flat enough to attempt a landing. After a second pass, she thought one strip of coral on the southwestern edge of the island would have to do. She took the plane down, Noonan braced for impact. She lowered the landing gear. The wheels almost skimmed the water as their crude coral landing strip rushed into view. The wheels slammed into the jagged coastline. One of them snapped off. The plane skidded on its belly, violently throwing Amelia Earhart and Noonan around the cabin. But they lived. And over the next week, Earhart used the plane's remaining fuel to run the engines in order to charge the battery that would operate the radio. For 6 days, she sent radio signals for help. Some shortwave radio operators in the U.S. say they heard Earhart's voice saying that Noonan was seriously injured and that she had minor injuries and that they were on a reef southeast of Howland. Investigators have identified 57 credible reports of a distress call from Earhart. But after a week, the plane ran out of fuel and the radio battery died and the tides washed the plane off the reef down to the depths, and the world no longer heard, nor was anyone looking for Amelia Earhart. The USS Colorado was sent toward Gardner Island, but by the time it got close, the mysterious radio signal stopped, so it didn't actually go all the west of the way to the island to look. On July 9th, 1937, the Navy had a plane fly over Gardner Island, and the pilot reported signs of recent habitation were clearly evident, but there was no sign of Earhart's plane, so the Navy moved on. The strongest proponent of this crash landing theory is Rick Gillespie. He's a pilot and accident investigator and the director of the International Group of Historic Aircraft Recovery. He has made 11 trips to Gardner Island so far, and his team has found some improvised tools, shoe remains, pieces of a pocket knife, bone fragments, and a small piece of metal that they believe is from the exterior of Amelia Earhart's plane. He plans on returning to the island to search underwater for her plane. Now, here was a thing that happened last week that was really interesting. They examined some bones that had been found on the reef. They said they belonged to a woman of European descent and the right height and the right build is Amelia Earhart. Here's the problem. They didn't find those bones recently. They found those bones in 1940. And they were taken to a Fiji doctor who said, no, these bones are of a man. And he was a stout man. And so the world dismissed it. But now technology is different, and we could measure those bones and look at what they are, and we can see that it was a European woman, most likely Amelia Earhart. Well, when I say we can examine those bones, I don't mean actually examine it. We had to take the measurements from the Fiji doctor, because once the Fiji doctor said, oh, well, these aren't Amelia Earhart's bones, he just threw them away. So now all we have to go on is the measurements in his book. And now through new medical forensics, we can see that it indeed looks to be the bones of a woman about the size of Amelia Earhart. Until Gillespie goes down to the coral reef and starts to really search, the world may never know.
Glenn Beck.
The Blaze Radio Network.